today on Real Radio.
Find a good company, get involved in it that's going public, and you get to reap of the benefits. You say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us this for? Because on the massive, most dominant, most awesome act of going public, it's found in the church. It's found in what God has done, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Going Public, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and above all, to love the way Jesus loved. Now, when we think of the term going public, we think of what we believe in and what we've put our hearts into is worth sharing and worth fighting for. That as believers, we need to publicly set in motion what the Bible declares to be true. We also need to understand what time it is, knowing that our time here on earth is short and that the end of all things is at hand. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that going public means that we first need to put our head in the game. Our focus, our prayers, and our persistence to do God's will needs to come from a clear mind, a love for God, and a love for others. And now in his message called Going Public, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As the title of the message declares, going public, what does that mean? What does that look like is what Peter's going to be speaking to us about as the church. But, you know, when you hear the term or the statement going public, we often think about the world. We think about Wall Street. We think about perhaps a private company going public. And you might want to stop and ask the question, why would a small startup company, for example, or a company that's privately held go public? And there's a lot of reasons why. In that world, there's a lot of reasons why, but ultimately it's safe to say that why any company or a small corporation would go public like that is that it puts them in a different place of recognition. If a company, for example, now appears on the NASDAQ or on the Dow, it changes its position in the world. It elevates it because it has earned a certain status. And what does that mean? It's earned a status whereby common people have seen the vision of the company and they agree that it is worthy to invest their private money into. In other words, a company going public now receives private investments. And then, listen, not only does the company explode with much more great capital available to its venture, but if you really care, listen to this, if you really care about spreading the wealth, you ever heard that before? Get involved in that system because that's how it works. Find a good company, get involved in it that's going public, and you get to reap of the benefits. You say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us this for? Because on the massive, most dominant, most awesome act of going public, it's found in the church. It's found in what God has done, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that it is something that God engineered it to go public from its inception? It's to go all around the world. It's not to be put under a basket or under a bushel. It's to be shouted. It is to be proclaimed. And then what happens when the gospel goes out? People personally get involved. They invest, not money, their lives, their eternity, their values, their existence. As a believer, you say, I'm responding to the gospel. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is speaking to a host of people throughout the ancient Roman Empire who had made the decision to follow Christ. And not only did they follow Christ, they went public. They went public with that commitment. And so there are great benefits to going public. But is that true for the Christian? Is that true for the church? Oh, yes. Eternally. Eternally true. it is. By way of introduction, jot down these verses, if you would, this morning. Some examples about how Jesus would go public with his church. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, there the Bible says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And verse 17, now remember, this is post-resurrection. Verse 17 says, Matthew chapter 28, when they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted. You ought to mark that. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Them who? Church, who? Who's the thems? The disciples. Some believed and some doubted. He spoke to them. Remember that. He didn't say, hey, all of you who are doing okay with my resurrection, you over here. Those of you who are doubting, Thomas, move over here. He didn't do that. He spoke to them. So this goes to all of us. And this is what he said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Church, what did he say? Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You need to mark that down. It ties directly into what Peter is saying. End of the age is the end of the world as Christians would know it. It is the end of the age, meaning go 2,000 years ago and get the job done. I'm inserting that part. And when you guys, and as you guys are busy spreading this gospel, you just keep doing it until you see the finish line. You keep going until it's over. You keep going to the end of the age. The gospel is going to go around the world and around the world. And just think today, on this Sunday, the gospel on the airwaves, internet, TV, radio, all around the world, the gospel is going right now, right now. In fact, I saw a mission agency. They were dropping crank up receivers out of airplanes over the Amazon jungle. And if it's foolproof. If it lands in the jungle, it can take the fall, lands into the jungle floor. And even if someone's never been reached, they can pick it up and they will figure out how to crank it. The moment they start cranking it, it's got some sort of a freaky battery in it, and out comes the gospel as you crank it. That's awesome. That's investing in going public. And Jesus said, go into all the world, even to the end of the age. Say at it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus put it this way. But you shall receive power. Think about the Holy Spirit putting a crank in your back, in your heart, and cranking you up so the gospel comes out. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to what church? To where? To the end of the earth. Notice, the gospel going to the ends of the earth and the gospel going till the end comes are synonymous. So as we look at this, mark it down. It's our only point for today because it's all that we can handle. It's good stuff. Going public means this, putting your head in the game. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking about putting your head in the game. We're going to be looking about putting your heart into the action or into the fight. And we're going to be dissecting these things. But as believers today, how can we need to ask ourselves this question, how can we go public with what we possess as believers? So put in your head in the game, verse 7. It says there, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, I may bore you with the background of this, but it's necessary. When he talks about the end of all things is at hand, I'm going to share this with you right now. You can read books and books of theologians, good ones, good theologians, and they disagree on what Peter is saying. When he said the end of all things is at hand, the natural question is to ask, what end? And when? Because the Bible here states by declaration that whatever the end is, it is at hand. So some scholars will say, we don't understand, but what Peter is saying, it confuses or it's distracting, so we'll just move on. And I don't know if that's the way to approach it. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have given it to us. Some scholars say that what he's talking about is the end of the age. It's going to happen in his lifetime, but it didn't. So maybe it's a spiritual ending. Be careful of that. Some scholars, and I agree with them, it's this. The very statement coalesces and connects with what Jesus is saying. Go and preach the gospel to the end of the age, to the end of the earth. Go and do it. And I agree with that. The end of the age, the entire church era, friends, is an indicator of the end of the age. Did you know that? You should know that. Everyone should know that when Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, he actually referred to scriptures that applied to the last days, didn't he? In the book of Acts chapter 2. It's fascinating. So what does this mean? Does it mean there's an error in the Bible? Not at all. It means that when Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, it set, by the way, we looked at this on Wednesday night, it set in motion the church age period of time, or the age of grace. We referred to it on Wednesday night in the book of Isaiah. And it's going to culminate the church age when the church has completed its task, and that task is known to God. So we want to look at this, that putting your head in the game, church, would mean this, that you and I understand what time it is. And I'm going to really ask you to take some notes here. But the end of all things is at hand. So Peter's motivation is this, exhortation. He's exhorting them. That's what that word means. He's going to give them a motivation. And what is it? The end. The end is coming. Now, when you hear the end is coming, what do you think about? Do you think about, some guy with a long beard carrying a sandwich board, walking around saying, the end is near, the end is near. Do you think of some sort of end time book? Do you think that, it doesn't matter. The Bible declares that the age of the end is upon us. You see, but Jack, generation has come and gone since then. Yes, what does this mean? That every generation of believers is to believe and to live as though the end is upon us. Being ready, we'll see this in a moment, being busy, being engaged. So the word end right here, telos, we've studied this earlier on in 1 Peter. It means, and look, I'm going to say it the way it's supposed to be said in English. Are you guys listening? It's an odd way of saying it, so listen carefully. The word end in Greek means this, or would say in English, the finished. The finished. It's past tense. It's done. So listen to this. The finished is here. The fulfillment is now. The outcome secured. So now what he's talking about regarding the end, whatever the end is, it is something that is not open for debate as to its accomplishment. It has been finished. So listen, Peter referring to, or Peter looking back to the fact that Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and that gospel's to be preached in every moment of your waking life, Christian, that verse 7 is true. It has been true, it is true, and it shall be true until the church is taken away. Remarkable. And then the word at hand. Two words, but one in Greek. It means to be or to make near. It means to come near. It means to draw near. So this is now an interesting thing. Jack, is it now or is it coming? The answer is yes. Very good. I heard the word both. Right on. It's both. It was true then. It's true now. It's going to be true next month. If Jesus doesn't come back, it's true. So our responsibility is to understand what time it is and to understand the fact that you are a living, breathing human being right now, and I assume all of you are Christians. And what that means is that you are to be engaged and active, and you are to have in your head in the game of this awesome investment opportunity to give your blood, sweat, and tears to what Christ is doing as he works in and through your life personally. And as a church corporately, we do this together. And as the church in the world, or we would say the church universal, we do this all together. But in that spirit of urgency, Listen to Jesus' example in John 9. In John 9, verse 4, Jesus put it this way: I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Opportunity. The door is open. The night is coming when no one can work. Rejection, persecution, loss of freedom. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Leave that verse on the screen, guys, if you would. And before we go to the next verse in Romans to gird this up, you know what's interesting about this? I'm curious if you've been with us on any of our mission trips throughout the years. We've been meeting and talking about missions and refocusing. Pastor Steve has been hosting classes and instructing. But I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the mission field mentality has changed in the world in the last 3 years dramatically, depending upon what country or continent you're on. It used to be in the old days, maybe you were with us, we would pile up 40, 50, 60, 70, I think 73 people. We got one time on an airplane and we flew to Moscow, Russia, right after the fall. This particular trip of, we got there in 1992, but there was a trip in 1993, maybe even earlier than that, doesn't matter. But we stood on milk carts with guitars and battery-powered microphones in front of Lenin's tomb on Red Square and preached with microphones the gospel. Church, this church, just this church, there were many hundreds of churches that eventually went, but this church alone stood on Red Square in Moscow, Russia, 1,000-year pavement, and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and crowds by the hundreds stood, and many accepted Christ, and it was an amazing thing, and that started a movement for us where we went back, I don't know, I think I've been to Russia 17 times in preaching the gospel with you on various teams. Guess what? We went there in 2006 to do the same thing. We were set up for a matter of hours, and we got shut down. You can't do it anymore there. Vladimir Putin's put the kibosh on preaching the gospel publicly. Can't do it. Other parts of the world, we hear about resistance. Obviously, North Korea, obviously, China. But listen, places that were once open, Germany, pushing back now, making it harder. Turkey used to be able to preach the gospel open air, no problem. Turkey, remember, Turkey was Bible land, friends. And Erdogan is against the gospel and he's shutting it down. They're either arresting Christians or they're expelling or they're not letting Christians back into the country. Hostility, South America. Turning hostile towards Christianity. What does this mean in this day and age when the Bible still commands us to go public? A, we still prepare people to infiltrate them into countries. B, we step back and we ask God, Lord, what is evangelism and what is missionary work supposed to look like now at this part of the 21st century, because the whole world is changing. Are you with me? It's different. You just can't walk in and say, I'm a Christian. And I love the fact that C answers A and B until we have another answer from God, and that is, do what any nation does if you're going to invade an enemy. You always fly over first and drop bombs. Did you know that? This church is flying over countries that have made the gospel illegal, and we're flying over those countries, as it were, with radio and internet transmissions. Did you know that in various parts of the world, that's how people are fed? You can't stop it. Well, unless you're North Korea and much of China. I'm going to be wrong on this, not too far wrong, but I understand in North Korea, there's 300 people that have the internet in North Korea. Why are they against the internet? Because Kim Jong-un doesn't want people to find out that he's not God. Remarkable. Jesus said, do it now while you have the time. The end of all things is at hand. That's a motivation statement. That's a statement of truth, but it's a statement of motivation. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, and do this. I love that. Very forceful, isn't it? Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Aren't you glad about that, church? You're way closer to heaven now than you were when you started. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and serve in the Lord. So we want to understand what time it is. So verse 7, seriously, and I just thought about the magnitude of this in preparing this message. If I have the right head in the game regarding who I am as a Christian and what's at stake at this hour and what the real reason is for me being alive and you and I together as a church, well, we need to be very, very busy. The night is soon coming. The doors are going to be closing, so we got to hurry up. We need to live in that constant thinking that time is short. Every Christian should think regarding the brevity of time. It should direct us in our thinking and in our planning. I very much love, I think you know this by now, I very much love the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I've believed that all my Christian life, can't wait. I understand what the Bible says about that. But here's the downturn. Here's the downturn to that. Like a parent, like a pastor, like a business owner, anyone, even though you could leave today, you're commanded in the Bible to prepare for the next generation. Did you know that? We're commanded. It's hard. But you have to think outside your flesh. You have to think outside your body. Think bigger. David wanted to build God a temple. God said, David, you can't do it. Your hands are dripping with blood, for crying out loud. My house is to be a house of prayer. God, in his mercy, though, I mean, who built the temple? Solomon, his son, right? Have you read the fine print of 1 and 2 Kings or 1 and 2 Chronicles? Solomon built it, but who paid for it? David paid for most of it. He couldn't build it, so he funded it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Going Public, Part 1. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, our prayer is that you take the gospel of Jesus Christ with you wherever you go. Going Public, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, January is just around the corner, and we have a one-year Bible available that helps you read the entire Bible in 1 year. Each 15-minute daily reading plan includes a portion from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. It's called the New King James 1 Year Bible. I love this Bible. It's available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, it pretty much goes without saying that 2020 really has been quite a difficult and confusing year. So I'm sure a lot of us are hoping and praying for 2021 to be a time of fresh renewal of God's amazing grace and sovereign protection. There will be many challenges ahead. We're living in the last days when hostility is running rampant, and when good is being called evil and evil good. And it's why we need a close devotional experience with the Lord, now more than ever. When we stay focused on Him and His Word, we won't get so easily discouraged or lose heart. So now, in anticipation of the coming year, we're offering the New King James 1 Year Bible for December's Book of the Month. Now, this best-selling 1 Year Bible guides you through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The New King James Version is very easy to understand, and the 1 Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from both the Old and New Testament, along with Psalms and Proverbs. Now, the New King James Bible is yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.